You were just talking about the lighting that was on the flight deck. Perhaps you could speak about that. Were these lights actually around the perimeter of the flight deck, or were there flood lamps set up or spotlights? What sort of arrangement was made?
There was outline lighting around the flight deck, countersunk in.
All right.
I can't even remember what color it was, but it illuminated the deck rather than shone around.
All right.
So, and then there were a couple of cluster lights on the back of the hangar,
mm-hmm.
above the hangar door, which would floodlight the deck. You wouldn't have them on as they were making their approach because it would be too much glare in the pilot's eyes.
All right.
But he could see the outline of the flight deck when he was on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember any of the details now. It wasn't... one of the things that you've got to remember is when the helicopter was hovering around the deck, people who didn't need to be there weren't.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't see what the operation was from wherever you were.
Right.
There was the flight deck control room up on the port side of the mezzanine deck of the after end of the hangar.
Mm-hmm.
But the crew chief was there. He was the one who controlled the foam proportioner.
All right.
So there was no room even for a goofing station there.
Mm-hmm.
So there were very little places where you could stand and observe the operation.
Was there any system that would have been sort of similar to the mirrored landing system aboard an aircraft carrier? Lights to assist the pilot in landing operations at night? Like a red and green light or anything like that that the LSO could use?
Well, he had traffic lights, mm-hmm. red, amber, and green.
All right.
And I don't know how they operated again because I wasn't there to see.
Mm-hmm.
I was the other side of them looking the wrong way.
Right.
And so I'm not quite sure how he operated those. And at one stage we had two artificial horizons so he could match the two to make sure he was at the right angle,
mm-hmm.
or right altitude as he came in. And I don't know whether that was a permanent thing or not.
What about communication between the LSO and the bridge? I mean, you have to know what's going on the bridge as it relates to landing operation and hauling the aircraft to the deck and wanting to know when the aircraft is actually in the bear trap. So what sort of system was worked out between the bridge and the LSO?
It was... most of it was done through the ops room rather than the bridge,
mm-hmm.
and we had an aircraft controller on in the ops room the whole time.
All right.
So he and the LSO were, and the pilot were always in communications because he was directing the pilot around wherever the aircraft was required to go, and then he would bring the aircraft back again.
Mm-hmm.
And when we first started out, we did not have a TACAN beacon.
All right.
Eventually we had, that was put in, I noticed there's other ships had it when I went back to Halifax some months later. So he was directing by radar,
mm-hmm.
directing the aircraft where to go, and we'd bring it onto the ship that way. So they were in communications more than the officer watch on the bridge, other than the officer watch being able to call the LSO saying there's a heavy sea coming up ahead,
mm-hmm.
or... wave off because of ocean-going traffic and stuff like that.
Right. I'd heard that they had tried out during the trials a lighted panel that was placed on the bridge somewhere so that the LSO could let the bridge know that the aircraft had actually been secured in the bear trap and the landing operation was then over. Do you have any recollections of anything like that?
Now that you mentioned it, yes.
All right.
It was just a series of lights with a switch against them, and as things happened,
mm-hmm.
it just gave you an indication.
All right.
of what was going on. Mostly is to give the officer watch the word that he was free to maneuver the ship again.
Right, okay. So that the operation was over and he could return to the screen, for example,
yeah.
or whatever the case may
yeah.
be. What were your recollections of the night trials in terms of success? Were there any minor mishaps or any injuries or damage to aircraft or damage to the ship or anything at all?
No, I can't remember having any any problems or mishaps like that at all.
All right. But I assume that out of the two trials, the heavy weather trials and the night trials, potentially, or hypothetically, I suppose, the night trials could have been more dangerous than the heavy weather trials.
I suppose they could, but I still feel in my own mind that the hot refueling was
was the big one.
Was the big one. I having had some training in firefighting, I was very, very nervous about having heat and fuel mm-hmm. awfully close together.
Perhaps we could just finish off with one last question. How would you characterize the relationship between yourself and VX-10 personnel during the entire period that you were XO of Annapolis?
It was a cordial working relationship. They were shipmates, mm-hmm. and in most cases, shipmates get on
right.
because they have to. They live with each other. Mm-hmm. You don't. I have heard of people at Daggers Drawn living in the same ship for a long time, but in most cases, people have to be tolerant of each other. And they worked together, so we had quite a cordial working relationship with them. Never any clash of personality either, which is kind of interesting because, you know, with that number of, we had 22 of our own officers plus 6 of them, and you'd say, well, with all that number on board, surely 2 could cross swords, and if they, rather than cross swords, they just didn't get close to each other, so
mm-hmm.
so they didn't even notice. We did have maybe one bit of a complaint, and that was the squadron commander kept trying to shove squadron staff onto us, and the only place he could live was in the aircrew ready room.
Mm-hmm.
And VX-10 didn't like that because the ready room, because it had bunks and lockers.
Mm-hmm.
That was aircrew for the aircrew to be ready in, not a passenger cabin.
Looking back at the trials, the Annapolis trials, and the success of the entire program, what would you attribute that success to, from an operational sort of perspective? The good working relationship between VX-10 and the rest of the ship's company?
Yeah, I think that here was a innovative thing that we were trying, and we were pleased that we were involved with it. I think that this is it. The whole attitude of the ship's company was, we're doing something special,
mm-hmm.
so we'll make it work.
So they tried that much harder to do a good job.
To try anything, yeah.
Is there anything else that you would like to add as it relates to these
trials?
No, you
brought out a lot of things that I'd long since forgotten just by reminding me of them.
Well, thank you very much for your participation in the interview this afternoon.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Reminiscing.